Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Today's episode of Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. If you always accept cookies when you go to a new website, you may want to consider clearing them periodically. Websites use cookies to collect data from your browsing history, and not all cookies are bad. But if your computer's running slow, or if you've accepted third-party cookies from an unencrypted website, then clearing them could be beneficial. And it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cybercriminal could steal what's yours. Sometimes even harm your finances and your credit, but good thing there's a LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats. For instance, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. You got to check it out. It's LifeLock. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for August 7th, 2021. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show over 12 years of podcasting. Like 12 and a half years. So we got a lot to choose from. We got some great highlights ready for you. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, our Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Happy Saturday, Chris. Over 3,100 episodes on our way to 3,200.
Jeez. See, so there's a plethora of content, and we're going to kick things off with one of my favorite things that we do on the show, a song breakdown, and in this case, even a music video breakdown. What do we got?
Adam Carolla Show, episode 1548, featuring Art Alexakis and Graham Parker, not in this portion, with David Wilde, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop, who are in this portion. They play Benny Mardones's Into the Night, and they break down the music video. It is hilarious. I actually took this and synced it up with the video and put it online. We've got multiple requests to play this again. Hope you guys enjoy it. April 2015.
You know, one I've never, Graham Parker song, we need to look up, Can't Be Too Strong. Nothing
you
better.
Can't be, you Can't Be Too Strong. What a song.
You Can't Be Too Strong. Never, nothing better than a good abortion song. And, you know, like, you remember when you found out Brick was about abortion? And you got a weird sort of Willy's Chilies.
Right.
Is that a medical term?
If you listen to
Willy's
this,
Chili's.
If you want to hear a song that predated Brick by maybe 15 to 18 years, here's a good abortion song.
Did they tear it out with talons of steel?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
So that you wouldn't feel and washed it away.
And it's where the title, Squeezing Out Sparks, comes from.
No,
it is.
Really?
Isn't it? It comes up in the song.
It's just a mistake I won't have to face. Don't give it a name. Don't give it a place. Don't give it a chance. It's lucky in a way. It must have felt strange to find me inside you. I had unintended to stay.
Like I wasn't bummed out enough when I was 17.
Nice. Wanna keep it right, put it to
my dad would walk in and go, yeah, shit, why didn't we?
First dust in the wind at that assembly.
All
and
right,
then this song.
This.
You can't be too strong. You can't be too strong. Can't be too strong. You decide what's wrong. Well, I ain't gonna cry. I'm gonna rejoice.
and shout myself dry and go see the boys. They laugh when I say I left it overseas. Yeah, babe, I know it gets dark down by Luna Park, but everybody else is squeezing out a spark that happened in the heat.
I don't think that's abortion,
somewhere
though.
In the dark.
This?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some people call this the greatest pro-choice, anti-choice song in music history. And he's a pretty liberal guy, but I think this song, he really got at the moral conundrum pretty well.
Wishes to God he was dead, but you can't be too strong. You can't be too strong. Can't be too strong.
All right. Well, you get it. So, if you're doing the abortion playlist.
My next one on Song Zone.
Well, from now on, it's only been Brick.
Yeah. No, this day on. And You're Having My Baby. That's like the three.
Yeah, well, no, that's the one that you want to spontaneously abort when you hear it. By the way, there's nothing creepier than the 70s. You know what I mean? There's just nothing creepier. It's like, hey, I put my seed in you. Now it's growing, and I dig it. Like, it's so fucking
it's
weird.
Clinical.
It's the weirdest fucking song on
but
the planet.
But also, the late 60s, early 70s was that time when there were all the creepy guy, young girl, get out of my... Like,
sure.
A lot of young girl songs that were like, hold on, how young is this
like
girl?
Like, they're trying their hardest not to be a pedophile. Like,
exactly.
Get out of my heart. Get out of here.
Well, there was a lot of countdown to statutory rape songs. Like, look, baby, you got about 8 minutes before I lock the door to this van.
Yep.
So... leave now.
I'm lighting the candles.
Take your ponytail and your oversized lollipop and clear out. Go home to mama.
Yeah.
Because in a few minutes, it's raping time. Like, but fair warning, I've decided to write a song.
Yes.
A sort of pre-rape song.
About what I will do to
what
you.
What I will be doing to you very
the
shortly.
These were the sensitive songwriters. The sensitive, predatory singer-songwriters.
I know there's a little girl behind the makeup and the pigtails. I don't want to have to rape you, but
you can see the dilemma I'm in.
Yes.
They really like to leave a paper trail.
Well, did you see all those movies like, you know, Alien and stuff like that? Once they put self-destruct into the thing.
It has to be pressed.
Once the rape switch is thrown, there's no undoing it. There's simply a countdown
until,
to raping.
Yep.
Right. So the countdown has begun.
You can't avert.
Creepiest of all time, Benny Mardones, a little later, Into the Night.
And?
Yep.
Yeah, because he starts moaning at the end.
She's only 16 years old.
She's only 16 years old, and there's a lot of moaning. Minutes of moaning.
I. By the way, it goes, she's just 16 years old. Yep. Leave her alone.
They say.
Right.
The
yes.
law actually says that, I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
Most states.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's, I don't know, there's one island in the Hawaiian chains where they'll look the other way. But, they's everybody.
Ooh, there it is. Creepy.
And by the way, he wants to take her into the night. Which means into the forest for like raping. Like,
oh, I thought it meant like it'll put you to sleep.
Oh,
like I'll take you to Sleepy Town.
I'm picturing more. Remember the guy out of like, what was it in like Utah where he's doing work on the house and he kidnapped the girl took her to his like little lean-to out in the woods.
His outhouse.
Yeah.
This is, I'm sure, with that guy who had all the women in Pennsylvania or whatever. I think this was his favorite song. Plus, what made it creepier is look at the picture of Benny Mardones. Like, Gary Puckett being creepy with a young girl, he was a good-looking guy. But Benny Mardones is a scary predator.
Well, not only that, but this is Benny Mardones' only hit. So when he's playing all the fucking county fairs, he has to start every set with, she's well over 18 years old. Leave her alone. Don't know why. Like, you know how they change it when a girl sings a boy song she goes, boy, I've been, and then the girl does the girl. He has to modify
for age.
Right. For legal reasons.
Right.
Yep. She's legal.
Yeah.
She's an emancipated minor, able to make her own decisions legally.
Yeah, like Dire Straits when they're singing Money for Nothing.
Yeah, you can't say that
LGBT community is doing nothing and getting their chicks for free. That little LGBT community guy's a millionaire.
That's right. LGBT, someone sensitive or a friend or associate?
Ally.
That's right.
We should make a whole list of songs that we have to go back and modify for the live version.
That's a good point.
Because he can't start with "She's Just 16-year-old," but it's his only hit,
yeah.
And the first thing out of his mouth.
That's the first line of the song.
You think he just goes, "She's just 19 years old."
I'm sure he does not sing the 16 years old part.
Well, how does he start the song?
That's the first line.
I think he does.
Really?
And I think if we go to YouTube, we could find him at a state fair doing it yesterday.
You have way more faith in Gary than he's ever displayed in this job. I'm just being here. No, yesterday's a tall order, Gary.
Young money, cash money.
All right, so you say he still goes with 16.
I'm saying he's 16.
I say he's fixed it.
I think it just gets better and better as he turns 60.
Those state fairs are family friendly affairs, man.
Mm.
You can't be singing about.
Yeah, but a lot of
girls.
Those state fairs, 16's cool.
All right.
Young money, cash money.
That's all I got to say about that.
You don't want super horny guys out there and a lot of funnel cakes in the vicinity. You know, that's
a dangerous combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Fried Snickers.
I didn't know they frosted funnel. Well, normally they don't frost them, but in this case they do. All right. We'll talk about that in a second. All right. August of 2013 Gary found.
Still says 16.
Still says 16.
Yes. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
You
I
can't
that.
Change
mm-hmm.
art. You don't put a mustache on a
Mona
Picasso
Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm. All right. The audio is bad, so
So's a song.
So we won't play. But if he does find a good one, we'll see. All right. Benny Mardonis, everybody. Yeah,
that's a Tool tune.
No other hits, right?
No other hits.
Okay.
That's a Tool tune.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah,
and
enjoyable.
Then he's taking her into the night.
That's right.
I would never turn that song off in my car, but
no.
I generally wouldn't admit to liking it.
But you'd roll the windows up when it comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a Tool tune.
Starts, and just he does all the moaning at the end as well. All right.
Wailing. At the moon, and they take him in the night.
Cat in heat. All right.
And that was a little breakdown of Into the Night from 2015.
Yeah, that's a hilarious breakdown of that song and that video, which is bizarre. Benny died in 2020, unfortunately, so rest in peace to Benny Mardonis. Sorry they made fun of you.
Before we get going to the next clip, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request or ask us a question, you can email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or you can find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana1. Let us know what you want to hear on Carolla Classics, any favorite moments, and we'd love to help you out there. Also, got to remind everybody about Tommy John. That's right. And more importantly, Apollo. Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet. With a performance-grade dry-release fabric blend that's exclusive to Tommy John. It's Tommy John's latest comfort innovation, and you can't get it anywhere else. Apollo men's underwear is proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. No. They have fanatics. And, in our case, a super fanatic. Super fanatic Giovanni.
I'm losing my mind trying to get this Apollo underwear. So as soon as I get my hands on it, I think it'll be several degrees cooler, because right now in the middle of a heat dome, and it is terrible. But thanks to my regular old Tommy John's, I'm doing fine.
That's right. Look, Tommy John has over 15 million pairs sold. So it's proven that men across America love Tommy John underwear, because there's no more flopping, sticking, chafing. And Tommy John's new Apollo men's underwear is high-end for your rear end. And of course, it comes with that best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free guarantee, and we got a great deal for you. Tell them.
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/classics. Go to TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
All right, let's get going with our next clip. We're going to go back to October of 2010 when we were on the search for a newsgirl.
Yeah, this is after Teresa departed due to the scheduling and her new job at a morning show and the conflict, so she could no longer continue as newsgirl. They're trying out several at the time. This one's Adam Carolla Show 425 featuring Steven Weber, who you may know from Wings and a myriad of other projects, but I'm a big Wings fan.
Yeah.
Jessica Golden trying out as newsgirl co-host, and Brian Bishop. This one's from October of 2010. This is part one. We'll play part two tomorrow in the Sunday feed. Check it out.
Adam's guest today, actor Steven Weber. Plus, Jessica Golden on the news.
Paul Bryan on the sound effects, and Larry Miller's here for a round of the hypothetical road trip game. And now, Jive Turkey, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Good day, Paul Bryan.
Don't mess with texts.
Good day, Jessica Golden.
Hello.
Where do we know you from, Jessica Golden?
That's a great question. I'm up 1% on IMDb. So
yeah.
Things are looking up. I do a lot of stuff on E, VH1, sometimes the pop culture, list shows.
Easy on the eyes.
Stand up. Well, very thank nice. You. You're not bad yourself.
That's part of your job.
Well, we'll see if all else fails.
That's a good look you got. Where are you from?
Thank you. I'm from Detroit, the rough suburbs of Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was your story? What brought you out to Hollywood?
Oh, a dream and a raspy voice. I just had to come out here.
It's
always
sexy.
Like, thank you.
Now, when you're
thank
old you. And fat, it's going to suck. But right now, it is hot.
Well, I'll work it while I have it.
It's funny when chicks are hot, everything's hot. Like a little scar on her forehead, it's hot. The fact that she drives a beat up old Dodge station wagon is hot. Like everything's hot, but as soon as you put on 60 pounds in 20 years, nothing's hot anymore. It becomes annoying.
I know
that
better.
That beauty mark that Cindy Crawford has?
Hot.
Hot. When she gets 60 pounds, ugly.
Yeah. Well, it's the size of a hubcap at that point. It stretches out.
I know my limits. I'm not planning on gaining 60 lbs anytime
Jessica
soon.
Turner's voice was hot when she was hot. Now that she's not hot anymore, it's not hot.
You just combine Kathleen Turner and Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, sorry. Wow. The ultimate hot and unhot. Yeah. Kathleen Turner. That's right. I even forgot. She's so unhot, I forgot her name. All right. So Jessica, by the way, you can find it jessicagolden.net. She's going to be doing the news. We'll do that in 1 second. Speaking of hot, I do want to say this. You have a man, Jessica?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
That's hot.
Thank you.
See, in 50 years and 70 pounds, it won't be hot. We'll go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but right now, it's hot. Well, if you're with a guy.
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
I've been with one before.
You have been with guys before. Good.
Yes. That's hot.
It's hot now. Getting some flowers, always cool. But as I say before, getting flowers on Valentine's Day or because your cat died or because the guy cheated on you or it's your birthday, to be expected. Just because that's the flowers you want, and that's what you should do right now with our good friends over at Pro Flowers. $19.99, guaranteed fresh for at least 7 days or your money back, and such a deal. But it only lasts until Friday, October 15th. You get the free glass vase or vase, as I would say, because it sounds hot. And again, as I've said, been up front with everyone, and I just want to be up front with everybody. We're getting some advertisers, and we're making a little bit of money, and we're getting people paid, and we're taking care of business over here. Well, not Brian, but the point is this. This is great, but the thing about someone like Pro Flowers is they sponsor the show, but we don't get paid unless you guys go out and spend $19.95 for some flowers, or $19.99, as it were. So definitely go check out our – call them at 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS or check them out online at proflowers.com. Help yourself. Save your relationship. Help us as well. And tell them Ace sent you. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, and type in Ace, and then we'll get to wet our beak. Yeah. Also, I want to just tell everyone state of the union, because some people are like, what happened to Teresa Strasser? Teresa started doing mornings, and because we're now shifted to evenings, she can't do that because she has to get up at the crack of fuck every morning. So sadly, she'll be in here periodically as a guest and so on and so forth, but she's not going to be able to be here on a regular basis. Thus, Jessica. Yes, Bald Brian.
That's hot.
Yeah. And also, lastly, and then we'll get to the news and the rest of the show, my book is now coming out in less than 3 weeks. Now, here's something cool. I already, and this is fairly unheard of, got the offer from Crown Publishing to write the second book before the first book came out.
It's like when you hear the movie studio producer or studios green lighting the sequel before the original even comes out. They're so successful, they know it's going to be a hit.
Right. And the whole reason we're getting that deal, and that puts money in my pocket and, more importantly, in Mike Lynch's pocket, because I give him a percentage to help me write the thing, that's because of you guys. You guys went out and bought, I don't know, 15,000 in pre-sales, got it up to the top 10 on Amazon 4 months before it came out. Thus, they see that. Thus, we get a better deal. Thus, we're able to bring you this show, and it's a whole Makuna Matata.
Know what I think I've got coming your way to celebrate your book? Pro flowers.
Yeah.
Expect a big, big vase. Vase.
That's what I'm saying. A big vase full of pro flowers. So the book's coming out on the 2nd of November, and we put our heart and soul into it. And if you like me, you're going to like it. So let's keep that going,
awesome.
And we'll keep that little train a-chugging, and I'll crap one, I mean write one, out. Every single year, just for you people. All right, Jessica, you want to try getting started with some news?
I'd love to. We were on the subject.
Sounds like when Lynch isn't over.
We were on the subject of hot. Do you know about the Vidara, the building in Vegas that's
hold on a
burning?
Second. We built a fancy intro for you.
Oh, we did.
Oh, please. Wow.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is The News with Jessica Golden.
I like the sonic bongos in the background. Yeah, so we're talking Vegas hotels.
Yeah, so the new hotel, the Vidara, it's built like on, I guess, at City Center.
Vidara sounds like a part of a vagina.
It does sound very vaginal.
Clitoris, and then there's the clitoral hood,
there's the
majora, and then the Vidara is just below that.
Just between the majora and the menorah,
right.
Per se.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come light
so,
it.
I know you have a background in construction. You probably could have built this in a week better than they did. It burns people. The sun reflects off the glass in a way. It burned this guy's hair off.
Really?
And, yeah. They say it's like a the upside.
Hold on, Brian.
Is,
are you suing or can you not talk about it because of the lawsuit?
I actually stayed there. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what happened
is
to
it
me.
You?
In junior high?
No, sadly. It was a year ago.
Did you get the free chemical peel?
No. Yeah. No,
all you have to
aware
do is lay out.
You stayed at the Vidara. So you go by the pool and the sun bounces off the glass and comes down.
It was January, so it was only 99 degrees in Vegas.
Right. Because they're doing that whole thing where they used to just put tinted glass up there. Now it's golden glass or blue glass, or they're doing something with it.
Beautiful looking, but tough. It'll burn your face off.
I'm going to side with the contractors on this one and say tough to calculate that force majeure, I think they call it, the act of God. Mm-hmm.
I'll go with you on that.
But a guy's hair burnt off?
Yes, the death ray got his hair. The hair was off, but it might be good luck. He might just have a little streak.
Did it catch on fire or did it just...
I didn't hear if there was a fire per se. I think he just felt something hot in this area.
But that's shit faced in 9 hours by the pool, right? I mean, nothing could happen in an hour by the pool, right?
His weenie might have been burned off too. But
yeah,
listen,
weenie roast.
It's true. I like that. Weenie
roast. Oh, there we could see in a picture of it. Yeah, the way it's sort of concave. Gathers the sun. It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those weird little solar barbecues just sort of up on its end. But either way. All right.
It's a good looking, it's an erect building. George Michael, he was just released from prison, his second DUI. He drove right into a photo store in North London. A little brick and mortar
collision. Well, them guilty feet have no rhythm, you see, and they can't operate a brake.
It's true, and he wants your sex, so...
Yeah, good. Fuck him. His music is horrible, everybody. And all you asswipes who are in love with that shit now, you should all go in prison yourselves. I swear to God, that stuff sucked. It sucked back then. It sucks now. And I don't buy that going through a fucking phase or high on coke bullshit. Everyone I know, when they were 19 and 20 and 21, they all listen to that bullshit. And now they act, you know what, they're essentially, they're really a little bit, it's a lateral move between them and like Nazi war criminals and sympathizers in World War II, where they all of a sudden like, huh? No, I didn't round up any Jews. What? No, I just did a little goose stepping on weekends. No, I didn't burn any books. Yes, you did, asswipe. I was there. I was the guy saying, listen to some fucking Joe Jackson, some John Hyatt, and some Graham Parker. But you went, no, I got to listen to Men Without Hats. And now you're all being punished for it. Safety dance.
You do. Oh, you never got into that or father figure.
Donnie,
never.
Please tell everybody that I was sitting around when I was 19, going, "This is for fags." I don't know what you people are listening to. This music sucks. I don't own one of these records. There's no fine pictures of me. My hair looks exactly the same.
What were you into?
Never even fucked with my hair. It's exact same haircut when I was 19 as I have now. Donnie,
me too.
Please tell everyone. All I ever did was announce this music is bullshit. This is faggotry of the highest order. I don't know what we're listening to. I'm going to go in my room and listen to John Hyatt with the exact same haircut I have right now.
What else?
Yes, he is absolutely telling the truth. And in fact, I'd be playing Prince Controversy and he'd come in and start yelling at me.
Controversy.
But the difference was I got laid.
there's a difference.
So what's the...
I know why I'm so bitter.
what's the gayest music that you listened to then? Like, what were you into? Like, emo, The Cure?
No, that's
like
the
hard
whole,
rock?
That's the whole point. All I ever listened to was John Hiatt and Graham Parker and Joe Jackson and Elvis right. Costello well, and all these taste. Guys and the Pretenders and all these guys.
He was right, though. The music he was listening to was more legitimate and real.
Well, here's how you know. If you get a John Hiatt record from 1981, you don't know it's from 1981. When you hear Men Without Hats, you go, March 84. So yeah, you know exactly when it was made because we wouldn't tolerate that shit any other time historically and musically.
I guess.
Thank you.
So boy bands, I guess you're not too big.
Well, Brian was in Men Without Hair for a while.
I thought he looked familiar. I thought you were a new
kid. He's the lead singer in Men Without Hair.
I still am.
It was a New Scalps on the Block.
Oh, see, I knew it. You and Joey McIntyre. I knew I knew you.
We headlined the Vidara.
Yeah.
It's a big gig.
All right, Jessica. Good. Lock him up. Throw away the key.
Love it.
Send a gay guy to the joint. How much? Is it punishment or is it?
Vacation.
That's Club Med, baby.
You might have liked it.
All right.
Obama? The rally?
Yeah.
I was there. Well, no. But a naked man was there. You heard about the guy streaking at the... It was like Woodstock.
At the Obama rally?
Yes.
I didn't even know there was an Obama rally.
Well, it's not that important. Someone threw a book at his head. A fan wanted him to read the book. So her way of getting it to him was to just chuck it
the
at his head.
The naked guy or Obama?
Another person. I'm telling you, it was like
threw
Woodstock.
Threw a book at Obama?
A book at his head. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Literally had the book thrown at him.
Literally. And maybe there's some 1-800 fly... Or no. I take that
back. That's a...
Pro.
I mean, that's a federal offense, right?
And he probably could go to jail right from there.
I can tell you from being almost arrested when I was 13 for throwing water balloons, it's called a missile. Essentially, whether you're you know, an actor throwing a phone at somebody or a model Naomi throwing a phone or an actor throwing a phone or a water balloon or book, it's just considered a missile. It's not a bullet, but it's an object that you're throwing at someone. And it's like a felony. Or at least that's what the guy told me.
A missile demeanor. What?
Yeah. Cops showed up and arrested us on top of a 7-Eleven for chucking water balloons.
You've never
cars.
Been never arrested, though, since?
Oh, you know, I got arrested.
Thank you. Welcome.
Someone was about 19.
Who did it? Everyone, if you haven't been arrested once, you're kind of a loser, don't you think?
Yeah, it's nice to have your hymen popped in the drunk tank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. That's what you were in for?
No, not having my hymen pop. mine was a bunch of warrants and riding a motorcycle too fast. Yeah.
Oh, wow, you're wild.
She threw a book at his head.
A book at the head. I'm not sure the name of it, so I don't know how good the promotion
Chicken soup
is.
For the Negro?
That might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Might be it.
All right.
Oh, wow. That's the naked man. Yeah, it was for a bet. So he might, I think whatever it cost to get him out of jail was how much he won. So.
It's funny that streakers aren't better built.
I know. Why would you streak?
Because it's funny. Like it's funny. The guys who take their shirts off usually are showing something off. You know, it's the situation type guys. But the guys who go pure nude always got a pot belly and skinny arms on them.
It's a drinking thing, I think.
Oh, so they're drunk.
You know what I mean? The guys who are predisposed to getting drunk a lot.
Mm-hmm. Distended belly. Now, are you going to work with the situation on Dancing with the Stars? Or are you going to...
If need be.
Would you?
I get very serious when I talk about Dancing with the Stars.
It's a big, that might be what George Michael revives his career with.
Oh.
A little salsa could maybe undo his misdemeanor.
Your raspy voice to God's ears.
Oh, yeah, gosh, that'd be nice. I love it. Thank you. You want to talk a little Brett Favre?
Yeah, I like the way you say Favre.
Well, or is it Favre?
It should be Favre, but either way.
Favre. I think he's lost. How is
By the way,
Favre?
You know, this is one of those, you know you're famous, you know you've made it, where when people can overcome the misspelling of your last name. On the back of your jersey, it's Favre, and everyone just says Brett Favre. They swap the V and the R. I mean, that's how it's pronounced, but if you go through life as a garbage man, you have to constantly correct people.
People are like Favre, faggot. Right. They don't know Favre.
Sure, yeah.
It's true. That is a good mark.
Not sure if they'd say faggot, but either way, that seems like a leap for the guy at the DMV. What is it, faggot?
Well, in fifth grade, I was thinking.
He's a Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
DMV, they might go with Favre. They're very sophisticated.
Oh, yeah. In junior high, it would definitely be Brett Faggot. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for
Swami, if you're listening, I got a new one for you. Yeah.
Okay. You know about the naked pictures going viral? Like, that's pretty common.
You don't want your cock to go viral.
Unless you're Brett Favre/Favre. Maybe he has a biggie. I don't know.
Well, look, I've said Well, first off, this revelation that jocks are into chicks, why is this a revelation?
I know. You're signing up for that. You guys know what you're getting.
Sort of lowish IQs and lots of head trauma mixed with a lot of testosterone who hang around a bunch of dudes that are also pumped up full of GHB. I mean, really.
You're going to be sending some naked pics. Right.
I was on the set of the Man Show, as I've mentioned, and the Juggies, our Juggy Dance Squad, was there. Sure. And we were hanging out, and Brett Favre was shooting a commercial, on the same lot.
Right.
And he was cruising a couple of the Juggies.
Course.
And as a matter of fact, I think she got his phone number, and Cousin Sal was calling it. And that was 10 years ago.
Did she sext with Cousin Sal?
I don't think there was sexting back then.
Maybe they Commodore 64'd it.
Yeah, that's
computer
right.
Computer to computer.
You got your tractor feed paper coming through there. Black and white picture. This Cousin Sal's cock.
But you're right. It is the
dumbest
thing. On
that beige paper.
Though.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect when you marry? Not, listen, I don't want to put the wife down. She's been through a lot.
No, but she had it coming.
Well,
she had the cancer and that coming.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'd
no,
say
but
that
look,
part,
they've been together for, what, 20 years?
Yeah, she might have a boyfriend, safe to say. Who knows?
Here's the thing. I lament the loss of our society and the freedoms and the freedom to cruise a chick when you're basically having an away game. I mean, it is literally, I was just thinking about this whole, like, David Arquette, Courtney Cox thing
right.
and all
they
this kind of stuff. They got
separate.
Pictures of him coming out of the Roosevelt Hotel at 4:30 a.m. and then pictures of her and the pictures of there is, I mean, at some point, and I know I sound like a broken record, but listen, every single, we could not envision a society where every human being was armed with a camera and every human being was right. armed with a Twitter account and a right. Facebook and access to the internet and that you could take pictures of anyone at any time, no yeah. matter where they were, at a restaurant, you know, look. Maybe the person did an. Maybe they did. Maybe they're a spokesperson for Jenny Craig, and then they went out to the Cheesecake Factory and were celebrating
right.
with a nice big piece of cheesecake.
Private binge.
You get to take a picture of them eating a piece of cheesecake and then send it to TMZ, and then TMZ and you get to make money off it.
It's
utterly
disgusting.
Gone. It's yeah. utterly and it's just completely gone. And everyone who goes, well, then, you know, when you're a celebrity, bullshit.
Right. You
didn't
know
fucking
someone
give up the right to have someone sifting through your fucking garbage like a goddamn retarded raccoon. No, you still have rights. What do you mean
yeah.
you have no rights? I love this thing. Like, well, you have these rights, but a celebrity. So what's that mean? You can go 65 on the freeway, but I can only go 40 because I'm a celebrity. No, it's the same fucking laws, same rights. Rights. You can't do this to a private
right.
individual. You shouldn't be able to do this to a celebrity. And I can't fucking stand it anymore. I agree. There's parody. Sure, there's parody. You know, let Weird Al write my Bologna instead of instead
right,
of my Sharona. But following people around with cameras
disgusting.
And forwarding texts and all that kind of stuff. And yes, there is this thing where people go, well, you should be smart enough now not to be evil. But
it's not even that. They make shit up and it's dangerous. They're in your face. By your, I mean you, not mine.
If David Arquette wants to have an affair, let him have an affair.
We don't need to have it tweeted.
And anyone who's profiting on it should at least cut him in on it. So at least,
exactly.
at least it helps pay for his divorce attorney. So Favre took
yeah.
a picture.
I guess that he wouldn't apologize. The woman, her husband, Jen, some Jewish girl that's like a play. She's now in Playboy.
Brett
What's Favre, her name?
By the way, spells Cox
C-O-C-H-K-O.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's exactly. He may not be. He might not have won that many spelling bees.
Right.
But I guess he would not apologize. He could. He basically sealed his own fate. The husband mm-hmm. was like, just apologize to my wife, who may or may not have blown you in the locker room. I don't know.
I like the idea that he had apologized to teammates, all the brothers who raped
right.
people in college.
That's
well, I think
yeah.
I'd apologize for not getting laid, or like, why do you have to apologize?
Sorry about that. Yeah, you guys have the gangbang, but I'm really sorry I ruined our team's morale.
I don't think that would hurt morale on a football team. You texting your cock to
it's
some chick.
Ridiculous. So he wouldn't apologize.
But did
but
he?
Then
but
the
he
pictures,
took a picture of his cock.
I have not seen the viral.
How do we know it's his cock?
Oh, there's the girl.
How do we know it's his cock?
Trust me now. It's allegedly. There's several pictures, and they're allegedly Brett Favre's.
Is his face in it?
No.
Allegedly, okay.
But he
usually
has, well, he hasn't. You know, denied? Celebrities usually do the thing where they deny, like, it's absolutely not me. Right. It's false, 100% false. He never even really addressed it being false. This whole thing was, I'm sorry, it's, I'm a distraction, or like, you know, a sort of tacit admission.
Maybe anything mine, else? Maybe Jonathan Libnicki's. I don't know. They could have photoshopped
Simcock.
It.
Yeah. Is it anything we should know? Botched circumcision, asymmetry in the sack?
Like, you
know,
that question.
At the end of the text, someone did intercept the cock. So maybe it was Brett Favre.
Wow. Pick six.
That's right.
Pick six and a half.
Turn for interception. Return for a touchdown.
Wow.
Took it to the ass. I mean, the house.
He's just having fun out there.
Yeah.
Listen, if your penis goes viral, so be it. It's part of the game.
All right.
It happens.
All right.
So, yeah, that was that. Then we have, there was a teen that tried to poison her adoptive parents with dog shit and pesticides. So
really?
Thanks for adopting me. Eat shit and die, basically.
Wow. That is a literal eat shit and die.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, let me first ask this. How are things with your daughter? I know that things were a little, you said that she wasn't, your son, you guys are really tight and things go well. Your daughter, I don't think she'd go that far.
I did see her palming some of Molly's shit the other day, but I didn't know where she was going with that. And then she offered to make me a sandwich out of the blue.
Did she watch a lot of news? She might have seen this story.
She's got the ticker up in her
bedroom.
Yeah, she got Dora the Explorer playing on the main set and then the news ticker underneath that.
I didn't know we had Nutella in this house.
Yeah, Butt-tella.
Dad, you want to cry? Right, exactly. But yeah, so this girl, I don't know, she took like bug spray and dog shit. Shit, and I guess maybe she made like a banana Oreo sandwich.
Here's the thing. Oftentimes when you have to adopt people, they're sort of damaged goods because they come from these horrible families and they're abused. Like, if you adopt somebody who was put up for adoption when they were 3 weeks old, that's one
different
thing.
Different story.
If you adopt someone who was 11 when you adopted them and they got put up when they were 10 and a half, that's usually lots of night terrors and dog shit sandwiches.
Exactly. You're basically asking, you should just swallow the bug spray.
Yeah, those kids
we
just put in a wood chipper. There's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
You just described the plot from Problem Child 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish. Now I don't have to see it. That sounds
yeah,
like a good
spoiler
one.
Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Exactly. So, yeah, that was that girl. And then we covered George Michael. Teacher had a meltdown in class. This teacher, he's been teaching for 17 years.
Let me say this.
Please.
I do think this is another manifestation of the news and the internet and all that kind of stuff, because teachers must have been having meltdowns their whole, you know, for the last 200 years.
I got chalk thrown at me by a teacher.
We've all had teacher spaz out. We've all had, there was always some dad charging onto the bus and threatening some kid. I mean, all these stories that you hear about now that are somehow news now, they've always went on, but in the past, they're just a story about your crazy old man.
100%. The kid had a cell phone in class. No one
really
would see this video.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's how we know, because the kid got it on video.
I love being right. That's what happened.
Yeah.
All right. And now, the kid has the right to film the guy spazzing out. Like, I didn't film Mr. Hensley when he got Mike Reese in headlock in 1979.
Well, yeah, when you see the footage, he didn't exactly capture great. It's very blurry and all over the place,
right,
but you
see. Here's what we're going to live in. Here's what we're going to create. We are creating a world where quarterbacks will not take pictures of their cocks and teachers will not have meltdowns because somebody will get it and throw it up on the internet. And that is a very
that
boring
sucks.
World.
It's so boring, yeah.
Oh, man. When Mike Reese, once again, came into the Mr. Tompkins class when I was in the ninth grade, and Mr. Tompkins, Mike's a friend of mine from back in the day, but obviously a little bit of a troublemaker in high school.
Were you?
And I was just a shitty student. I wasn't a little bit of a troublemaker, but more of just a horrific student.
Bored with what they were teaching you.
No. I wasn't one of those guys that was too smart, so I was bored.
That's where I was going.
Too bright. I was bored.
Okay,
I was fucking retarded. I couldn't understand most of the stuff that was going on. I tried.
Okay.
Even when I did try. Like, I was definitely not one of these. I had a friend named Alex Arado who was one of these really smart guys who's now an attorney, but who would fuck around in class because it wasn't stimulating to him. And he'd get report cards that said, like, obviously Alex is very bright, but he needs to apply himself and focus and blah, blah, blah. I did not get that. I've got your son borderline retarded, and we're this close to sending him out to one of the classrooms with wheels on it where Donnie Mizrahi is.
It was the same report card up until the part where it was like, obviously, he is not very bright. Period.
Might want to have him tested. Might want to do some
special. No, there was not. If he only I applied myself. One time I really focused on a final. The one time, because I had to pass my Spanish final at the end of my senior year with 2 days before graduation. If I didn't pass that one class, I was failing. And by the way, I would fail classes routinely that I attended, which was difficult to do. This is LA Unified. This is North Hollywood High.
Oh, I used to substitute teach for LA Unified.
Yeah, this is not. Yeah. This is not Harvard or Crespi or Westlake or something. This is a fucking bottom of the barrel high school, and I was trying, and I would fail these classes. And I really tried, and I got a D.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah. Now who's the joke on? Mrs. Valthera or whatever.
Did she throw a desk at you or?
No, but I saw lots of great stuff.
Did you ever have an affair with a teacher? Any?
Yeah, I banged Mr. Branson for a while. I swore I'd never say anything about it. Yeah.
He might be dead now, so. Mm-hmm. Well.
Let's hope so. He was a horrible teacher.
Well, then he deserves it.
Yeah. I hope everyone who taught shop at Walter Reed between 1978 and 1981 is dead. Thank you. And who taught PE except for Mr. Nelson, who was Ricky Nelson's cousin.
And it was a guy. Cool. It was for sure a guy.
Yeah, he was for sure a guy. He was cool. Yeah.
You had a cool, yeah, PE teachers can go either way. They're either like the cool, the women are not quite as cool as the men.
Yeah, but the shop teachers were major league dicks, all of them.
Yeah, they are. Mine was a dick too, Mr. Lamb. I think he almost cut my hand off in a vice, but.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was like a Jewish punishment.
You're making me, huh?
Well, listen, if I can do that. Can we? Speaking of which, no, I think you had something.
I was going to tell Jessica you should probably stop the news there, and we'll pick it up later on with Stephen Weber.
I like it.
More news with Jessica Golden coming up.
Larry Miller, everybody. Great to see you, my brother.
Thanks. You know what? By the way, a lot of people don't know this, but when George Michael drove his car into that photo shop, the clerk said, "I told you, Tuesday."
No,
and
yeah.
So a lot of people don't know, though, that...
Remember photo mats?
I know. I had a theory that, by the way, the only time I've ever been homicidal, and it's consistent, where I could strangle someone, could just murder anyone at that second, is when I lose a call in the car and you still talk to the dashboard for 40 seconds.
I did that today.
Right then, I could kill anyone, and I have a theory that I feel like just pulling right off onto the next exit and joining Al-Qaeda. I could do it right then.
Yeah.
And that's what they should do. They should get every old photo mat booth and just have recruiting booths at every exit on a freeway across America just waiting for people to drop calls.
Well, Larry, this is why I would like to implement the Japanese custom of, hey, 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 because I don't know about you, and I don't know if you've heard this, be ready with the shock sound effect, but I can be a little long-winded at times. And I will get on a cell phone and go on a rant about what dicks the last producers we did a sitcom were. And I'll go 180 miles. I'll drive to fucking Palm Springs and still be on the same rant about what douchebags these hacks were. And at a certain point, I realized I lost the person after and another thing. And that's why in Japan. And okay, if we don't want to adopt it for conversation one-on-one, fine. But on the cell phone, let's do a little demonstration. Larry, you pick a topic, whether it's talking about your son's Pop Warner Football League or your wife's cooking or whatever it is, or a complaint du jour, and I'll explain how this would work if we were on a cell phone conversation that was a little lopsided.
Okay, good. My wife was cooking at one of my son's football games. And, and all I'm asking for is...
you see?
And she missed one of the big plays.
Hey! And every once in a while, I'd mix it up. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, feel your pain.
Now, the only drag is those guys
have... Oh, you're not doing it anymore.
those guys have no middle ground, though. They go right from the very together thing to carving their intestines out.
Right.
They have no really...
Eating sushi off a virgin or something like that. Yes, I know.
No. Well, wait, I've done that one. And by the way, you know what? It's not what you expect.
It is not. You're right. I'll tell you that. I did that today, too. The 45-minute... You're like, I'm doing a fucking monologue and no one's even there.
Yes. I should be holding a skull and wearing a cape. And all I'm saying is... When you're on the phone and you're with someone who's a little windy like me or Larry or Jessica, you got to throw in the, oh, yeah, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be a high, but it's sort of affirmative. I feel your pain. I know what you're saying. It was every once in a while, I hear the phone get set down on a counter and the sound of bacon frying while a guy urinates in the background. And then he comes back and I hear him clumsily. Yeah, hello? I was listening.
At least you know they're there, though. That's better than the talking to yourself.
Right.
Please call your call again later.
That's true.
I would like, because he's no longer here, that's why I like the Isaac Hayes thing you guys do. Because when no matter what you're telling, it's such a warm addition to life. And I think, for instance, you, Isaac, you know what I mean,
Isaac. Yeah. Oh, every cell phone should have And okay, here's what it is. There's a new app. All right, here's the new app. All right, we got to work this out. Sandy Gans. Is Sandy still in the building? Computer expert Sandy Gans? All right. Pass this on to Sandy then. There should be an app where if there's a pause longer than just a hummingbird's heartbeat, you hear Isaac Hayes go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I'm telling the story.
It's good.
And I'm like,
I love that.
Every goddamn time I'm driving down Sunset Boulevard,
yeah.
I get one of these ass wipes who, when the signal cycles, it's two cars per cycle, not one. How long have you been fucking driving where you just fucking let the one car go and this guy is a close cousin to the other asshole who won't pull into the intersection when it's time to turn left? He's going to sit there and wait like he's blocking you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That is all you need.
That's all. What happened to the ones that I love so much? That's the one I love. They get, sometimes.
Well, that's just keeping it real. You know what I mean?
I don't need them to really listen. Just pretend like you're listening.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, if there's a heaven and we get to go, the first thing that happens after you get in is going to be you're going to hear, excuse me, can I see you for a second? And it's going to be him saying, I don't think that's funny.
Yeah, the big man and the chainmail vest.
You have a good voice, too.
Yeah.
Not to get, you know, risque over here. But.
Hey.
By the way, we had a health teacher in high school, Herbie May. We used to call the bull from Indiana.
Yeah.
Who took us out in the hall, every boy, when we misbehaved. And he was football.
Oh, come on, Brian. You missed a pause there.
Football coach.
Yeah.
Sorry. What? Was that the one? Do that one again.
No.
I love it, too. I can't help it, Larry.
I did that forever.
Sometimes.
All right, the bull. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, he used to take, but in terms of that discipline you were talking about before, he used to take every boy out into the hall. It was a football coach. He was a big guy, and he would punch you, a knuckle punch, but between the muscle and the bone.
Right.
And it hurt. But we loved him because it's boys. You love, you get walloped around a little bit. No one ever thought, oh, that's wrong, or you know what, maybe a giant lawsuit would be good. I loved the guy. We adored him, and he would laugh. He had a great laugh. One time I said something that was the show, The Varsity Club Follies, where I was wearing my mother's wig that I got from upstairs. She had a wig, and he next day in class, he said, so is your mother bald? And I said, every night. And this was in 10th. Wow. This was in like 10th grade, and the class roared. He dragged me out into the hallway, but instead of hitting this time, he collapsed on the locker laughing, and he just said, "Oh, Miller, that was a good one."
I love
Damn night.
I love that story. I just had a Larry and I talk about this a lot. So we have sons. We don't want them to be pussified like everyone else. We want to play Pop Warner football. And we're talking about, we always talk about sort of discipline, and you know, you're going to get a dislocated pinky every once in a while, and maybe a bloody nose, but pussy, that's a lifetime sentence, whereas this goes away. This heals in a few weeks. I was talking to some guy backstage at the Benson Interruption, by the way. Doug Benson's got a new show on Comedy Central, which I did, and you can check him out. I don't know, go Twitter Benson or something. He's taping these shows. Funny, they're funny. You can go check them out. They're out here in Hollywood, so give him some love. But I was talking backstage to one of the producers at the Benson Interruption, and I thought, you know, I often harken back to thinking about things, mementos, and things from Pop Warner football and high school days and all that kind of stuff. And I played 10 years of football, and I've never thought about a participation trophy ever. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I own any of the participation trophies. And even back then in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, I remember not counting the participation trophies. And then I said to him, and it's something I'd never thought about, the most important thing I have from 0 to 18 and a half is a flimsy piece of paper from Cal Poly Pomona trying to recruit me to play football for a program that doesn't even exist today. It's just a piece of paper that says Cal Poly Pomona and Coach Roman Gabriel at the bottom of it. It's like my most precious item from childhood. Was the coach of Cal Poly Pomona when they attempted to recruit me. But don't worry, I was too smart for that. I went to Valley College and flunked out and hurt my back. But
you showed them
the best trophy I'd ever received was I played a bowl game after Tiny Mites or Midgets or whatever, it's a Pop Warner football. At the end of the year, after the season was over, you'd hop in a bunch of station wagons and drive 100 miles out of town and play some team in Palm Springs or something or whatever it was. One time I went to Utah, for the love of Christ. But you play a little bowl game, as they call it. And at the end of this one bowl game, they didn't do it in any of the other bowl games I played in. At the end of the bowl game, both teams lined up side by side along at the 50 and 45 yard line, sort of face each other. And the coaches said, "All right, we have a cup." The cup was the size of something you would beat off into at a clinic. I mean, it was like literally 3 inches high, nothing. It was a joke. You know, it was Charlie Brown's Christmas tree of a trophy.
Maybe it was an actual cup.
It was a cup. He said, "All right, Channel Islands, you guys vote on the best offensive player and the best defensive player from the East Valley Trojans." And they said, "Number 22, you on the offense, and number 53, you on the defense." And they walked up and they handed us each my trophy. I got best defensive player, as voted on just after the game was played by 28 kids who I'd never met before. And it meant more to me than anything, because it was real. It was the exact opposite of a participation trophy. All the other 25, the 25 other guys could fuck themselves. Me and Scott Whitman were the only two guys on our team that had that trophy. And if they'd handed one out to everyone on our team, even if they were 9 feet tall, I probably would have thrown it in the garbage before I got back into the station wagon. It would have meant nothing, as opposed to my favorite trophy, although it later broke when I was using it as a kicking tee in front of my dad's house playing football alone once again, because my dad was inside reading some Leo Buscaglia books. Sorry, Scott Whitman.
Is he Jewish? Do we have a Jewish person that won a trophy for football? That would be
You know
first.
What?
No.
My kid.
I don't think
so. You know
so.
What? Who plays on his old team? My proudest moment was that one of the coaches, he got into a fight because a kid knocked him from behind, a dirty shot after a play.
I killed that kid who hit your son.
Well, no, but I'm watching. So the kid, this is last year, so this is Tiny Mites. Mm. And it's his third year. He gets up, jumps on the kid, and starts punching him through the helmet. And now, the coaches wait for a couple of beats.
Yeah, sure.
And, which is good. They wait for a couple of beats. And then they say, okay. Now, his coach, I don't know a lot about gang tats. Not as much as I should.
All right.
Gang
tats?
I think I know a pretty good amount.
Is your son of blood or
Can I just interrupt very quickly and say, as the only Jew on the team yelling as he's punching him, your head should grow in the ground like an onion. Your teeth should fall out and the hair should grow in its place, while he's beating the shit out of linebacker from the other team, was what set him apart as a Jew.
Well, you should
not his bar mitzvah.
You should have a mansion with many rooms and walk lonely from room to room.
Yeah.
Some kind of odd curse.
The yarmulke double stuck to the top of the football helmet was also what you call a towel.
So here's the thing. This coach pulls him off, gives him a wallop, it's all good. And this guy says, it was the proudest thing. He turns to the other coach and he points at him and he says, by the way, he's only 87 pounds. He starts at center, starts at nose guard. It's a tough kid. And he points to him and he just says, I like this kid. This is a scrappy kid. This kid don't take nothing from nobody.
Yeah. Is his coach Jewish, too?
He's a gangbanger.
Tony Montana.
No, that was Mexican. Because I went down to hang out with the East Valley Trojans, and I got some sort of lifetime achievement award from the
Trojans?
9 guys in the stands, you know. But no, I did. I went down and hung out with them, and I don't remember this. We had white scary. Now they have brown scary coaches. But we had huge guys named Mr. Fitzgerald with big beards and big windbreakers that were scaring the shit
Definitely
out of everybody out there.
Wife.
Yeah. Scott Whitman's claim to fame, by the way, is that we had Eric Kramer on my team, who later spent 11 years in the NFL playing quarterback.
Wait.
Starting for Detroit.
I'm from Detroit.
Starting for Chicago. And Scott Whitman started ahead of him at quarterback at the Pee Wee League level. So I'm sure Scott has told that story more than I have.
That is a big feat. And I remember Eric Kramer. I'm pretty sure he did the Super Bowl shuffle in 84. Or
I don't,
Eric Hipple?
No, I don't. That was probably Hipple. I don't think he was. Well, either way.
He might have been Billy Sims.
When I saw him in his pro uniform, he wore it the same way. He looked the same in his uniform as he did when I saw him last at age 11 or 12, which was really weird. His build, the way he kept his pants up kind of high and his belt in pretty tight, just sort of the way it hung on him was the same. The last time I saw him was, you know, 1976, 1977, but it looked, I could tell it was him in his uniform.
By the way, there were two white kids on the team this year. My son is one of them. You know, this is very funny. This is very witty. You know what they call them, the other kids call them?
White.
White meat and the other white meat.
Like,
isn't that funny?
And it's like, good, right?
And it's like a great joke, isn't it?
That's great, and you're not getting all pissed off and writing any letters to anybody.
Where's your son go to school?
He's go. He's go. This
Harvard
is not,
West,
this
like.
Is
no.
This is Pee Wee football. This is not. See, here's the thing.
This is, yeah, this is his old team. The East Valley Trojans. It's
school. Really, here's what people don't. Southern California is a little bit different because you don't play tackle football in junior high.
Flag football, is that what you do?
Well, go ahead and get rid of that L. And
exactly.
And you got flag football. No, you play Pop Warner football. If
what is Pop Warner?
Why did that?
I'm telling you what Pop Warner football is. It's what we've been talking about for 40 minutes.
It's football.
It's just regular football. But they don't.
Pop Warner.
You want to play tackle football with pads? You have to play Pee Wee football or Pop Warner football or whatever. And then when you get to high school, you play high school football, which is that way. But
got it.
That's how it is. I don't know why the junior highs seem to have it in other
just
places.
Just barely starting in some places, but. That this way, and he loves it. I didn't sign him up. My wife didn't sign him up. But, you know, he loves it, and he's good. And this way, when they get to high school, as you said, then they can say, anybody here ever play? Hey, I've got 8 years of East Valley Trojans.
Yeah, he'll be on varsity by the time he's a sophomore.
Yeah, he's had a knee replacement, but either way, he tapes it up, takes a needle, and plays.
Just do not let him send pictures of his penis to girls on the team.
Sorry.
Cheerleaders.
He's already texting them with an Etch-a-Sketch. All right, Larry, you're here for a reason.
Well, and I feel good. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good tonight.
Let's do the intro.
The following is a presentation of Jeremiah Weed. It's the Hypothetical Road Trip Game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida!
All right. This is L.A. to Florida. Larry's driving. Who's riding shotgun? Is it this gent or is it the next? You have to spend, 4 or 5 days in the car with somebody. Who's going to be? No wrong answers. Once again, here we go.
That's the way it's fun, by the way. It's your meeting for the first time.
I'd love to go on a road trip.
It's your first time here. So this is, because it's whatever you think, it's whatever you feel, but there are no wrong answers. So go ahead, let's just go.
There are no wrong answers. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. Here we go.
50-year-old male Grateful Dead fan or 15-year-old female Justin Bieber fan?
Okay, first of all, sometimes they don't start out easy, but this one is easy.
Oh,
because I am the Grateful Dead fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a classic Deadhead, and so I would always drive with the Deadhead, and I don't care if it's a 15-year-old girl. No, actually, I'd have to, you know what, because I might get scared because I can't drive with young women because I get scared they're going to scream or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I would I would always drive with the Deadhead because I'm a Deadhead anyway, and never drive with the 15-year-old girl because I'd be afraid she would scream and yell, why is the bald man driving me around?
I know what you're saying. That's incorrect.
What about why? What
wrong? Incorrect. This guy,
incorrect.
Well, I got to tell you, this guy's drinking. You know, first off, he drinks a box of wine a night. They have to pull over every 9 miles so he can urinate. He's got that thing when you get a little bit older, and it's like that commercial where the three good-looking white guys and the one inexplicable black guy is in a convertible with them, but evidently they go way back. Are all driving? They're trying to go on a road trip in a Mustang convertible, and have to keep pulling over. They can't go on a fishing trip. Yeah, everything is ruined because this guy has to urinate every 20 feet, whereas a 15-year-old girl can hold her urine for months.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Larry.
No problem.
That's right. Let's keep going.
Okay, well, like, you'll
for one. Here
you'll
we
see,
go.
By the way, though, this gets better because
I'm not
real
sure
simple
yet,
coin.
The rules
real,
it's just what you think.
There are no rules. There are no rules. Very simple coin toss. Sarah Palin or Arianna Huffington?
Huff.
Always.
Please, no help from the crowd, Jessica.
No, that's right.
I thought I was supposed to. I'm confused.
Always. First of all, on a desert island, I think they're both on the desert island list, but I think I would go with Sarah Palin first because after the 3 weeks of sex, I think she could actually get us off the island, which is the whole point. What wrong? How could it be wrong?
Nah.
I'm trying to introduce the game to a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was supposed to guess, it's not a guessing game?
No. It's a skill game. It's not a guessing game. You understand?
Okay. Now I get it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. I'm sorry. That's incorrect. Let's just move on. Right. I don't have time to explain why it was wrong. You know why it was wrong. Here we go.
Jessica can absolutely try one. I mean, she'll see how hard the game is.
You want to try just one?
Larry, no, I wouldn't want to step on your toes.
No, you won't.
Well, no,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll give you one of the classics.
Okay, please.
All right. And again.
John Ritter.
Wow. It was John Ritter.
She's right, without even the question.
Frankie Valli on here, and it was John Ritter. Wow.
I knew it.
Absolutely amazing. All right, Larry.
I get the game. This game's easy.
I didn't even say, did I say John Ritter? I don't remember saying it. It literally says, read it. It says John Ritter, Frankie Valli, right? Across. I don't know why that was even written on there. You must have looked at the paper before the show. All right, anyway, very easily done.
3 years I've been playing the game.
Here we go. 85-year-old black blues musician. Or blowhard running for local political office.
This is easy. I would always go with the 85-year-old musician because I cannot stand anyone running for any office because I think they're seriously out of their minds. People like you and me, all of us here, are supposed to be the crazy people in the world, people in show business, creative people. I don't think so. I think anyone who wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and says, maybe I'll lead. Yes.
Yeah, and you really think about politicians. I mean, the guy running for district selectman. I mean, you think the guy running for vice president is a horrible individual. How about the guys running with a constituency of basically his cul-de-sac? Yeah, you may be right on this one. You may be right.
Head of the kickball.
No.
I thought it was.
You know, what can I say? Rules are rules. Larry Miller, everybody. The great Larry Miller. You can find him at LarryMillerComedy.com.
No, wait. Not Larry Miller, humor.com.
Oh, humor.com. Sorry.
And also on the Ace Broadcasting Network on This Week with Larry Miller, which they can download for free on iTunes.
I'm so sorry, Larry. But thank you for coming once again.
Well,
and again,
a lot of guts
showing your face around
Thanks
here.
Thanks for showing me the ropes. The
Larry
game.
Miller, humor, right. And you can hear him right here on the network. Thanks so much, Larry. Sorry about the loss.
That clip from 2010. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the second half when Steven Weber from Wings joins in. All right. I am very excited for our next clip here. November of 2010. This is when Ed Asner famously came in with his son, Matt. And Ed was a little unhinged.
Yeah, it was a fairly normal interview for most of it. It's Adam Carolla Show 442, Ed Asner, Matt Asner, Sheer Lazar trying on his news girl and Brian Bishop. This is from November 9th, 2010. Ed got into a little conspiracy. Ed's conspiracy corner, as I like to dub it. It's very funny. Check it out.
I knew Joe Francis because I did this thing once. I was doing Loveline, I would come home late at night. I would see these late night infomercials. And there used to be one that I found to be despicable, which was, you know, people are sort of outraged and have their panties in a bunch over, you know, Joe Francis and what he's doing. And he's sort of using these women and without their consent, but they give consent, but they're drunk and they're at South Padre Island and blah, blah, blah. Okay, titties, fine, but nobody dies. It's titties and a little embarrassment. But there was an entire series that were people being cleaned out, literally being killed. It was a commercial. It wasn't Faces of Death, but it was one of these.
It was like banned from TV.
Banned from TV. Like, it was a whole series of, and they'd cut it. You'd see, there was a famous one, I don't know where it was, I think it was maybe in Europe or something, where somebody was going to, it was this guy, he was like going to cross train tracks at a sort of busy area. And then at the last second, the guy stopped because he saw a bullet train essentially coming. But the woman who was next to him did not stop and was just eviscerated by this bullet train. Now, they would cut it just before that. And it was planes crashing and alligators eating people.
Oh,
just
he produced
live
this?
Footage.
That's good.
He was going to SC when he was doing this, and I used to see these commercials, Banned from Television, Part 2, Uncensored, whatever, and I used to be outraged by them because I thought the family of this woman who was cleaned out by the commuter train, this woman left behind a couple of kids and a husband, and there's no, hey, in 10 minutes we're going to be showing this commercial. It was just you'd turn on, you would literally, it'd go, well, you know, they'd go, we'll be right back after this break, and it'd go right to the woman on the tracks. And I thought, why should these people's families have to? I mean, you'd be scared to turn on the TV set. Yeah, imagine if you were, you know, the woman looked like she was 40. Imagine if you were her 18-year-old son. You'd be scared shitless. And I was like, what kind of human garbage would do
compile the best of those moments.
And then sell them for, yeah. Not to mention, you want to talk about, you know, when the FBI gets their list together of possible Al-Qaeda sympathizers, how about a list of the douchebags who put down their credit card to see a bunch of people eaten by fucking grizzly bears?
Did he do bum fight?
No, I don't think that was him. No. I bet he wishes he thought of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But no, it was a shocking ban from TV video. And there's some sort of thing where... in the case of the commuter train, it was a surveillance camera, and I think you could just buy the footage from whoever, whack it up. He was a student at USC at the time. I was railing about it, saying basically that I hoped his parents died in some horrible way, and somebody filmed it and then profited off it. And that
and lots of people buy it, right?
I don't even know.
Again, the people that are attracted to other people's misfortune, it's so sad to me. It says so much about you, by the way.
Yeah.
You want to fucking look in the mirror? I mean, really, you get someone goes, hey, man, did you see footage of that guy being taken apart by the Kodiak bear? And I go, no. And they go, you want to see? I go, no. I don't want to see it. I got to beat off in 6 hours. So
that's like
thinking
YouTube
about
these days, all these videos. There was a video of the parents found the video of their daughter who had died in a car accident on YouTube, becoming a viral video.
It's insane. I don't want to even see the woman on Oprah that got her eyes taken out by the monkey. It's like, no, I'm bummed out enough. Shit. Jesus Christ.
But then, you know, every once in a while you do have that video where no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like the, I don't know, did you see the old woman driving on the wrong side of the freeway like a week ago?
Any time where I don't care if the guy said, if you say, look, I got a video of a guy being brutally raped by Kodiak bear, but he was fine with it, I'm in. Now I'm in. Now I can watch. But if someone was injured or especially killed, I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Good.
That's but that's just me. Unless it involves a plane. And for some reason, I'll watch it because I did see the planes going into the towers on 9/11.
Well, that was just, you needed to see that.
And saw the towers coming down.
And I saw the towers coming down, too. Call me a hypocrite, crazy. But that I could not turn away from. I don't know. I felt like that was history something.
You needed to see it to be part of the conversation.
Ed, what do you think?
You're going to get him started. You're going to get him started on the 9/11.
Not one Jew in the building.
Okay.
Well, what's going on? Conspiracy? Really?
Oh.
What's up, Ed?
What do you know?
Go ahead.
No, I just believe it.
Huh.
What's the conspiracy part?
What's the conspiracy part?
Yeah, I mean that you believe in. Matt, you want to go out in the parking lot and put your head under
a pillow?
They
did it to go to war? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, these are all facts which are out there. If people would only take the time to stop
and listen. Let's hear it.
Rob Schneider said, Ed, I thought you'd know better. But I don't think he's exempted by any means, and so I preach it.
What? Let's hear it.
No high-rise has ever gone down by fire.
Mm-hmm.
Those buildings fell at the rate of gravity in 10 seconds flat.
So,
or close to it.
So what is the thought? Now, there were million. Now, here's Ed, as somebody who's done a little building.
I don't want to take away time from
this is good.
And I just want to see Matt squirm anyway. seriously, because here's how I know it to have happened. The I-beams that this thing is built of, they put fire retardant material on these I-beams. If you go into an underground parking structure and you look up, you see something that looks like it's had acoustic cottage cheese stuff blown all over it. Well, that's fire retardant because steel does melt at a fairly low temperature, and they put fire. Now, I had heard, Ed, that when the impact of the plane knocked a lot of that stuff off of these beams, and then when the Jet A fuel started burning, the beams melted. Mm-hmm. But to that, you would say what?
Bullshit.
Really? Well, then who's behind it then?
We'll never know from the type of investigation.
Who do you think is behind it?
I think that there is a certain area of government which probably participated in this.
Participated in what way? Turn a blind eye or actually participated?
Well,
I mean, in a more proactive way.
The planes couldn't have brought them down by themselves.
Bombs,
so you're
maybe?
Saying that there were explosives,
explosives
in the building.
Yeah. Why did Building 7 come down?
You mean the one that was not one of the World
That's
Trade
right. 100 yards away from the Twin Towers.
That one came down as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would that one come down?
Well, I don't know.
But I mean, they put explosives in that one. And in that order the, to wage war,
that was the building that housed all of the official records. It was a 47-story building, and the chief of all security in the Twin Tower complex was killed, I think, in one of the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the records for all of the investigative agencies were all buried and secreted in the Building 7, by the way.
But, Ed, don't you... Here's the way I feel about our government. I don't feel like they're good enough to pull this off. And I feel like they're always talking. There's somebody talking at some point. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, when we went in, when Bush said, hey, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and thus that is our excuse to roll in there and take that place over. And then later on, we found out, well, turns out he didn't have any of the WMDs. So why did we find out there were no weapons of mass destruction if our government is good at doing conspiracies? Wouldn't somebody said, hey, dig a hole in the desert, put a couple of barrels of mustard gas in there, and then Bush is not going to look like an asswipe, and then we're not going to look like asswipes for declaring war on a country because they had weapons of mass destruction that we never found. How could we couldn't even pull off that simple task?
Because it wasn't the same Department of Government.
Is it different?
Yeah.
The ones that aren't good at conspiracy.
That's right.
Don't
that's
you
right.
feel, though, that somebody's going to pop up on 60 Minutes
no,
at some
they
point?
Die too easily.
Oh, really?
You know, there's one that
you
I...
You got
that
your
I,
next documentary to work yeah. on, by really. The way.
There's one that I thought was really amazing, which was the plane going in, or the so-called plane going into the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, that if they say if you look at the video, it's not a plane. It's something else.
What is it? What do you think it is?
A missile. Possibly.
And so you're saying, Ed, that the plane hits, the tower burns, and are explosive charges set off to bring the tower down?
Yeah.
And how come watching the video, you don't seem to see any of the explosion? I mean, you see the thing pancaking on itself, but yeah, I didn't see the initial explosives.
There are puffs going on. I can't tell whether the puffs are merely the decompression of each floor as it goes down or what, but there are puffs which could be the explosives.
And this is done, but to what? What's the upside of this? To be able to declare war?
This certainly helps.
But is there an easier way to do that? I mean, like I said, just plant some WMDs somewhere and gas a couple locals.
And kill 3,000 people?
Well, now I'm saying, why go...
And launch it in sufficient numbers.
I feel so, like we've started wars over less.
We have. But I think the people, in all of their stupidity, have gotten a little smarter. So you can't easily pull a Gulf of Tonkin.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's got to be on a bigger scale.
Vietnam.
And the lying has to be bigger. The two chiefs of the 9/11 Commission have both stated that the CIA did not completely informed them that they were denied information.
Mm-hmm.
And my bottom line in all of this is that this country, which is the greatest, strongest country that ever existed in the world in terms of power, supposedly had a defense which could not be penetrated all these years waiting for the Russians. No. But all of that was eradicated by 19 Saudi Arabians, supposedly, some of whom who didn't even know how to fly. One of the one that supposedly flew into the Pentagon did a 180-degree turn, which experienced pilots say can't be done.
Well, who's going to do the documentary on this?
Oh, well, they're not going to do any documentary.
Why not?
He wants
now,
to stay
would
alive.
You be, would there, you be scared for Mads?
There was one, actually.
Fahrenheit 11, 9/11.
I think Charlie Sheen did one, didn't he?
No, there have been a number of documentaries. But,
seriously.
But they haven't been done on a grand scale.
Take a break from raping hookers and really see if I can get a doc.
That's a deep one for Charlie.
During my refractory period. Yeah. Now, wow.
You know,
what's Thanksgiving like at the Asner house is what I want to know.
You know,
Kennedy was shot by more than the Cubans were. Yeah, you must. I mean, and Kennedy, I shouldn't get you started on Kennedy.
I don't care.
By the way,
that one I buy into. Totally.
But they're all, yeah. I mean, all the stuff. I mean, all the major ones.
Mm-hmm.
you're on the conspiracy side of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bobby Kennedy, Sirhan Sirhan, had 7 bullets in his gun, or 8. I'm mm-hmm. not sure which. There are 12 bullet holes in that room with documented proof.
Now, we're on to Bobby Kennedy now. Mm-hmm. But we have footage of him being shot, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's footage. Yeah. Or there's, I don't know if there's footage, there's audio of him being shot.
Oh, you mean...
He goes off screen, and I think you hear it, and then...
In the, going through the kitchen.
The Ambassador.
In the Ambassador Hotel. Yeah. So you're saying, sir, there's a conspiracy around Bobby Kennedy, too.
I think so, yeah. Paul Schrade, who was wounded and left for dead at the site, I think certainly believes.
Who would have got rid of, who wanted to get rid of Bobby Kennedy?
Well, he probably would have ceased the Vietnam War.
So this is all about the industrial war machine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one part of this I will agree with you on is it is a, first off, if you're manufacturing tanks and mortars and Claymore mines, you probably don't have an emotional problem with killing a person or two. Mm. It's kind of your business. I mean, killing people is sort of your business. So at least you do have that going for you. And then the other part is, it is a massive, massive business that is either the most profitable thing in the world, or when you're not engaged in a war, that's a lot of factory space that ain't being put to use.
Mm-hmm.
That far, I definitely will go with you on. Ed, we're out of time, but again, during Thanksgiving, when I come by the Ezra house and we pick up this conversation where we left off, I will I will enjoy every second
of it.
Hey, Adam. Yes.
You know we have very smart listeners, right?
Yes.
Nothing would please me more if a listener took the best of Ed Asner's conspiracy theories from this episode and synced it up with the video of Up.
Put it on YouTube.
That would be a YouTube sensation.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes. I just want to close. I feel badly because I wanted Matthew to be very strongly featured.
Oh, no.
Well, man.
And I just want to tell you that the music from 100 Voices, forget the idea of cantorial, it is some of the most gorgeous music you will ever hear, and some of those gorgeous voices.
Matt and Ed Asner, is this, now would it be house or would it be tech?
Shalom Aleichem.
Ed Asner, he's got a sitcom coming up on the CMT network that begins in January, and of course Matt Asner, 100 Voices, A Journey Home, the documentary. It's coming out, is it this Friday?
This Thursday. In 100 theaters, and no pun intended. And then we open in 5 markets on the 12th.
And Ed, don't worry about Matt. He's a big boy. He comes back here all the time and plugs his stuff.
Oh, I know. But I'm so proud of what he did there.
Yeah, he chip off the old block. And next time we'll get into the Bay of Pigs with Ed Asner. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Brian, Bald Brian, Shira Lazar, Matt, and his pops, Ed Asner, saying mahalo.
And now, Stitcher Radio presents your Adam Carolla Extra.
All right, Shira.
Yes.
Do you remember Shira, Lord of the Jungle?
Shira, Princess of Power.
Oh, is it Princess of Power? Well, who was the Lord of the Jungle?
I think you're showing your age difference.
What?
Either way.
She-Ra is He-Man's, like, lady, right? And She-Ra is, like, Lord of the Jungle or Queen of the Jungle or something.
Either way, I beat off to your cartoon doppelganger.
Nice.
And I just want you, I'm going to be upfront
with
you.
Hey,
it wasn't you, but it was you, you know, and if someone drew you, that's all.
As a superhero.
As a
character.
Superhero. I'm feeling, I did Jimmy Kimmel yesterday, but yesterday's
it feels
today
like a long
for
time
us,
though, right?
So I'm wearing a makeup and feeling extra confident tonight.
The Metro and you is coming out.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Oh, we're
yeah, sorry. But no, Shira's very attractive. Very attractive. And not
you.
in a bring home to mom kind of
oh,
way.
Oh, you're sweet.
You know, not
thank
in a
you.
Oh ditzy stripper kind of way.
I appreciate
but a substantial
that.
Kind
I should
of
add
way.
That to my Wikipedia.
Yeah, substantial, attractive in a you can be proud of it kind
because
of way.
Because girls don't like being called cute.
Mm-mm.
But I think cute's good.
No, you're not cute. You got good bones, baby.
I appreciate that good bone structure. Speaking of good bone structure, the Biebs.
The Biebs.
Want
Justin
to smell
Bieber.
Like the Biebs?
Has he got a fucking cologne coming out?
Yes.
And that would smell like what? A learner's permit with its hat on
however,
sideways?
However, it's a little bit of a twist here because it's not for men. It's for the lady.
Of course.
Of course. And
but
because...
the Biebs, like, when these guys come out with a book, do people, can you keep a fucking straight face? Like, when you were 16, did you have anything to say? Oh, the lessons, the love, and the loss.
It's just going to be pictures of him. You know, it's going to be a picture book.
Right.
So he already has everything. He has his biography. He has a fragrance. His agents are doing well.
Do these guys get famous because they're famous, and then it just kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and a weird sort of momentum, like some fast-moving avalanche that can't be stopped? I mean, I know I'm the guy who's always out of it, and I was out of it. I'm proud to say that I've always been out of it. Like, it's not like, well, listen, old Pops Carolla, you ain't listened to Justin Bieber. No, I never bought into anything. When everyone was listening to all the shitty music of the 80s, I didn't buy into it. Even when I was the right age, I didn't buy into the bullshit.
This is like a girly pop group type thing. It's like the New Kids on the Block, for me, at least.
I'm just so tired of guys without pubes singing, girl, well, I want to get next to
you. Exactly. You listen to him singing Baby, Baby, and you're like, do you understand what you're singing about?
It's always been that way, though. I mean, there's fucking Michael Jackson when he's 7 and a half. It's like, hey, girl, if we could just get a few months, what the fuck? What are you going to do?
But he had the soul.
Pull out your miniature cock with no pubes on it and do what?
Oh, this makes it even better. Not only is he launching a perfume, but he's launching a range of nail polishes with colors inspired by his hit singles.
Jesus Christ. So sad.
Talk about ancillary businesses.
I know. And by the way, you know, when people go, to be fair to these kids, when people go like, what the hell's up with Joe? Why would he? Let me explain why. Somebody goes to his mom who's managing him and goes, hey, want to make a quick $1 million? All he's got to do is put his fucking name on this glittery nail polish. We'll get the fuck out of here. And, now sign here. Yeah. And he does. That's why would he? Like when people say to me, why would you write a book or what? Why? You know, you're not a writer. Like I go, no, I know. It's not my idea. Somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, we'll give you money. At least this involves some work.
And now he's just surrounded by Diddy and all these other guys. And, you know, I must say the rappers and all this, they take whatever they can get, like the endorsements. And
what
they love,
the fuck does Diddy do? By the way, Diddy doesn't do shit. He rips off other people's songs. What the fuck? It's so insane. I just got back from New York. I had to see an 80-story picture of Diddy holding his fist up, doing the 1968 Olympic thing with the black athletes on the podium doing the one fist thing. He even rips off his fucking stance from shit. Everything he does is a fucking ripoff. He doesn't sing. He talks. He takes Kashmir. They play Kashmir. They play the fucking riff. They play the guitar riff from Kashmir. He talks in front of it. Then he comes out with a fucking line of cologne. What are we doing buying the fucking records? And to all you asswipes who think it's okay to sample, you're fucking high. It flies in the face of artistry. Hey, I'm gonna sample some of George Carlin's jokes. Hey, why don't you sample some of Richard? No, you don't sample. It's fucking art. You can't sample. It's the antithesis of art. It's so fucking lazy. It's preposterous.
And we make it okay because we're like, oh yeah, it's a remake. It's a remix.
It's a remix. It's a real whatever. No, you're taking Led Zeppelin songs and ripping them off. It's plagiarism. It's sonic plagiarism, you asswipes. If you had an ounce of fucking talent. Yeah, and then all the other cockfucks who sit around me go, sorry, but you fucking asswipes go, hey, I like this song. I kind of like
this. Sweet groove, dude.
I like this song. It's like, yeah, you like it because...
You're like, does this sound familiar?
Yeah, because Robert Plant came up with it in 1976, you fucksticks.
You realize this is exactly what I do. I take other people's words and make them new and funny.
But you're poor and bald.
So if he was making money, it would be wrong.
Yeah, so it's like Diddy with a toothpick hanging out, sunglasses. Oh, wait a minute, I like this part. Oh, yeah. Oh, Diddy outdid himself on this part.
He's on to something here.
Yeah. Hey, I got a movie idea called Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it's
what
about munchkins. And there's a song about a rainbow. And there's an evil witch and a Dorothy. She got a dog named Toto. It's awesome.
Better copyright that
shit, dude. I'm going to write that shit down and make a million.
You're a mastermind.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And then when Biggie Smalls died, he had to come out with another fucking... It's like, quickly, I need a down-tempo morose song to rip
off. You know
off
who's the
so
dude?
I can, yeah.
Akon. Akon is the man.
Yeah, anyone who comes up with their own shit is fine. God forbid someone play a fucking instrument, but you ripping off other people's riffs is... It's not your song, ass fuck. It's someone else's song. And like I said, would you use it in movies? Could you use it in art, paintings? Hey, oh God. Yeah, when Big Boy died, or when Biggie Smalls died,
this is
a fitting tribute. I'm going to rip off a fucked out police song.
This is a sweet groove, though, man.
This is a really good song.
And by the way, this to me is being raped with a double-fisted, double-ended dildo, because not only is this a horrible police song, it then turned into a horrible trilogy or eulogy for Biggie Smalls. It's so fucked out. Every breath you take, every step you make, I'll be watching. It's just a slow dirge. It's such a dirgy piece
of
shit.
Okay, but isn't it one of those songs... This is already over time. Isn't one of those songs that if you heard it today for the first time, you'd be like, wow, that was pretty awesome.
I will never give it awesome. It's just always like, all right, at least it's interesting.
But do you
somebody
like rap?
Tried
Are
to
you
do
a rap
something.
Type?
No, sorry, not
if
this
it's new.
Song. I mean, you know what I mean?
The police version of it is too slow and too drawn out and too sort of nursery rhymey to me. But I would say at least it's original and it's interesting and it's different. I'm not going to listen to it, but it's interesting and different.
I guess the distinction is between respect and just liking a beat, right?
People are stupid when they hear familiar, they bite like
totally.
Fucking carp. They bite like fucking big mouth bass on something shiny. And then you just rip off a shitty nursery rhyme that the police did, but at least it's theirs. Oh, fuck. This is so fucking shitty. And it's such bullshit, too. All right, I'm done. We're done. I'm angry. That's it.
That was your Adam Carolla Extra on Stitcher Radio.
That clip from 2010, and that was Ed Asner. I remember during the interview when Brian's like, hey, somebody should mash this up with Up, like a montage of Up, and somebody did it, and it might still be on YouTube. I remember we were very excited that somebody did it right away.
It was a hilarious idea and pretty funny execution. Come on, man, steel beams, we all know.
So, there you go. Ed Asner, famously from Up and a legendary actor. All right, that will do it for part one of today's episode. Stick around, part two coming up right now.